Good morning. First of all, I would like to pay my respect to the elders of the Palawa people, past, present, and emerging. We are on their land, and the land was never ceded. And I am very mindful of that. I also acknowledge Her Excellency, the Honorable Barbara Baker, Professor Jane Chalmers, politicians and parliamentarians from all sides of government. I also acknowledge community leaders who are here today from all over the state. It's incredible, humbling to be here in such inspirational company. And I thank the organizing committee for the parliamentary breakfast for giving me this opportunity to be a guest speaker here today. It's humble, and I didn't take this for granted. I've been asked to reflect on the way my upbringing, my experiences in life, and my faith have helped to form my approach to leadership. I learned my faith when I was a small boy in Sierra Leone with my dad, who was a Christian. We went to church together, my mom, my dad, my family. I look forward to going to church because music and faith were two things together for me that kept me going. And I really like to go because I play the bata or African drums. I was so involved beating the drums that they used to call me Sima Bata, which means small chief beating the drum. I'm gonna demonstrate. Christian values were instilled in us to be good citizens and good human beings to others. Seeing how my extended family were together and being led that moral way of living, I learned about treating people with respect. And basically, that means to be nice and don't be mean or cause hurt. I was taught that Jesus asked us to lead a life of compassion, a life of faith, a life of honesty. And that is to try to live how he lives, is to lead a strong and humble and faithful life. Jesus asked us to show mercy. He mingled with everyone. He sees us for who we are. And that's why I love the parable of the Good Samaritan. The story about the Good Samaritan had an effect on me because it teaches us about who your neighbor is and whom I choose to stop and help when others cross the road and keep walking. That story really resonates with me. In Tasmania, when I first came as a refugee, people would act like, oh, he's black, he's an African, he might be violent. I have looked to the way Jesus lived in this world and the way he led, and I have trust in the presence of God. That's the backbone, the foundation that gives me purpose. And it has helped me to endure. When I was in a refugee camp, I held to my faith. Even though things were really not okay, the ration for a whole month was 3 cups of rice, 3 cups of maize, 3 cups of beans, and 1 liter of oil. And that is just what you had to live on for a whole month. Along the way, I have lived through the most extreme challenges imaginable. And those experiences led me to think about the effect of both good and bad leadership. There were atrocities perpetrated by the rebels. And in them, I saw all the evidence and horror that bad leadership can produce. There were people who chose to follow their lead, and they were very good at convincing others to follow them. They took children as young as 8, as young as 10, and gave them drugs, and gave them guns, and indoctrinated them. Coming to Australia and being told to go back to where I come from, and having eggs thrown at my first home, it gave me a broader perspective and a deeper understanding about how to lead. Because there can be these different sides of life. I knew that misfortune didn't just happen to other people. It can be you at any time. It can be someone you know, someone you love, or have strong connections with. And when someone has been robbed and beaten, they need a lift. They need a roof over their head. They need to recover. They need you to be a leader who doesn't walk by on the other side of the road. There are political leaders, the media, who spread hateful ideas about migrant communities. We are here to take your jobs. We are here to take the housing stock. We are here to form gangs. This is an effective strategy of spreading fear in people's minds and hearts, and to create hate. But it is not good leadership. There are good reasons to manage the migration system that are unrelated to fear and hate. I believe that to be truly effective leader, you need to show that you are leading not just with your words, but also with your actions. You lead by serving others. You can help create that opportunity for people to grow and learn, to encourage them towards community and away from division. I believe that if there was no God, I would not be alive. The journey I've walked, someone was there that helped us get down the track. So we weren't forced into fighting for the rebels and being murdered. And someone was there for us to escape the stray bullets and all the weapons. It drives me to know that someone is there, and there is a reason that I am here in Tasmania. As Tasmania Australian of the Year, I've been given a platform to help others. I remember what I saw, what I lived through, but there is so much more now that I can be thankful for. In the refugee camp, I met my beautiful wife, Mavis, and that is a miracle. Now, we've got four amazing kids. They are all here with me in this room. When thinking, about leadership for this talk, I reflect on the different stages of my experience and what I have learned at each stage. The first stage was my early home life. My father was a chief, and he settled community disputes and did a lot of community work. So I had a role model who encouraged me to take up that leadership role, to lead from the example demonstrated by my elders. And as the only male child, there was expectation on me. Ours was a traditional family structure. My mother was the leader in the home, working and organizing and bringing her ideas about keeping everything together. Everything was held together because everybody had their own leadership role to contribute and make a very strong family. My dad settled disputes and community staff. My sisters helped look after us. It was based in a very strong teamwork, and everybody was valued for their roles. Nobody was seen as lesser or other. Now, in this system here, there are different challenges, and we have adapted. I spent some days working from home and looking after the baby whilst my wife worked outside the home. We share the taxi driver jobs that all parents do part-time to go out their children and take them, their children, to after-school activities. We take turns running around looking for the lost school jumpers or the missing lunchbox. Last week, I was running around the aquatic center looking for the water bottle, who my wife said, that can't go missing. And we both lead, Mavis and I, we both lead in our community engagement activities with ideas and energy. My wife's sister shares our home. She helps with the work, studies towards her own career. We all work as a team. So my ideas about leadership are now modified by an awareness of the gender pay gap, the harassment of women in the workplace, and the recognition that neither traditional family structure nor the power structure of the contemporary workplace necessarily guarantee a safe environment or leadership pathway for women. There needs to be more thought about the dilemmas of leadership for women at the intersection of traditional roles and a sometimes exploitative workplace that still undervalues women's work and contributions. The next stage of developing my approach to leadership was in the refugee camp. In the refugee camp, I saw a need. There were young girls and young boys with nothing and no hope and nowhere to look up to, no one to look up to. I tried not to focus on my own suffering, but focus instead on the community, my sister, my brother, and their suffering. I thought I am lucky and I am alive. These people have needs, so I got them together. I had a choir, and I did some community work with the young people. The lesson I learned in the camp is you've got to look at the bigger picture. It is not all about you. Leadership is about others. So I saw the need and thought, I'm not the only one. I have a story, but there are other stories. There was a time in the camp I gathered everybody in the camp and organized a praise night. Everybody came and sang and danced and celebrated. It was a music concert. We all danced and sang. Everybody were so happy. It was a good thing. But the next day, some people had aching bones from so much dancing. But they had needed happiness and joy in that situation. Sometimes leadership is about taking opportunities in the moment, realizing this is what the people need. And people in the camp always laughed and talked about that, and the way they couldn't hold back from feeling happy together. We made a memory. The next stage of my learning about leadership was in my early resettlement stage in Launceston, where I began to work and study and took up a role at the Migrant Resource Center North. I was supporting migrant and refugee youth. So when reflecting on this process, on the process that I went through after I arrived, I asked myself, what was it that worked for me? How did I make it? One answer is, I quickly decided to educate myself in a complex system and in a new way of life. I understood that there was no way the community would easily comprehend my starting point, but instead, I must find a way to adjust to this new way of life. But what could I bring? What could I offer to this long established and seemingly closed community that I was so new to and felt so outside of? Fitting in felt like a daunting task, I tell you. I repeatedly had eggs thrown at my first home in Launceston in Ravenswood. They told me to go back to where I come from. They told me, you're a black man, you don't belong. In response, I turned to who I am, my culture, my unique way of life, music, dance, food, dress, and the vibrant African way of being. I started choir groups, youth groups. I started volunteering. I started singing and dancing at the Launceston Mall. I started singing at aged care facilities, hospitals, schools, churches. I passed on what I had learned about resettlement. I started by bringing young migrants together, girls and boys, to help them with their assignment, liaising with schools, social workers, and ESL teachers, running support classes and programs to help them with their schoolwork, and helping them to understand how to settle in the school environment. I started mediating between police and migrant communities. That could have gone really bad. Migrant youth who have suffered trauma and uniforms doesn't match. Supporting young people in the court system, physically going to their houses and taking them to soccer, music, cultural events, and many other activities. I created programs to engage them and keep them away from trouble. I drove them all around town to appointment while supporting them to learn the system, the English, and also the Australian, which is something different. And also to learn the Tasmanian English. It's quite different. I support them to look for jobs, write resumes, fill in citizenship applications, apply for their family members to join them. I support them with housing, rental, and landlord issues, and help them to connect with mainstream services. All those confounding complexities of navigating the system. I reached out and was committed to being present in that situation. finding ways to connect people and linking them to communities and networks and agencies so we could talk about how to support them. And I mentored leaders who could be in a position to help others. A big part of that involved understanding the war trauma that some carry to support them to live in Australia in a situation where that trauma is not widely understood. Working with government funding programs taught me about the bureaucratic and the reporting side of accountability. I had only been in Australia for about a year when I took on the role, so I was still very new. I knew for sure that I didn't want to just sit there. So in spite of the newness of the system, I realized I had to take the initiative. I learned that to leave, you have to put yourself out there. Get involved. It was a huge adjustment because in the refugee camp, the organizing and community work didn't involve a lot of documentation. So I had to learn to do it. Keep up with the reporting system, designing your work, planning your own work, counting all the interactions. It had an effect on me. At times, you are very unsure what it is you are doing, what is acceptable or not, acceptable to the system. That had an impact on me, being mindful about how to adjust and change. But it didn't stop me. The next phase of my leadership development was in the public sector role and setting up and serving in multicultural organizations. I worked at Child Safety for 15 years, where middle and senior leadership groups lack cultural diversity. So discrimination was often not perceived, and opportunity to instigate meaningful change were lost. To list just a few of my personal experience, this year in January, I was recently targeted at my workplace when a photo of me receiving the Tasmania of the Year award was taken down and disappeared, whilst many other pictures and photos were not taken down. When people hear this, they think it is a type of one-off event to do with a specific workplace, when actually it is a representative of a more widespread attitude. The status quo in Tasmania agencies and institutions is currently very white European and does not reflect the Tasmanian community diverse cultures. And this is leading to unacknowledged racism. At work, I was told, you have been given a leadership role to tick the box for cultural diversity, not because of your capability or skills. I was told you cannot understand when someone has been insulting because you are a person of color. I was publicly shut down among my peers when I wanted to make a contribution and told my ideas were not relevant because I am a person of color. There are many subtle and blatant ways we encounter discrimination. Skills might be downplayed or overlooked completely. Keeping skilled workers functioning below their capacity for literally decades is just a waste of potential productivity. Although there were challenges and there was pain, I managed to navigate that and use it as a learning opportunity. I stayed there long enough to make change and responded by speaking out and bringing awareness and attention to it. Leadership in the multicultural community involves being there for people, giving support and facilitating dialogue between service providers, businesses, and government agencies in a respectful way. I mentor leaders who could be in a position to help others. So my approach to leadership comes from that complex experience of learning to integrate and settle into a new community like Australia that has a completely different system and where the trauma of war and displacement has not impacted most lives, and where people of color are a minority. So you are dealing with unintentional racial issues as well as systemic abuse. Leaders with lived experience can hear the story that people are telling when the system fails. That sensitivity to trauma, the understanding of what it does to the body and the mind, and the healing that is involved, is one of the things that has allowed me to lead. We need people to listen and sharing the understanding. When it comes to listening, I believe we always have to search for ways to extend our reach, and I have been determined in any consulting work to hear from people who are not always on the front line of making a point. And that might be because of their gender, because of their age, or because of their family arrangement, or language, or technology, or disability, or even transport. So to recap, these are some of the leadership phase that I have just spoke about. Now, being Tasmanian Australian of the Year has given me this platform to open up the conversation further about integrating migrants and refugees into the economy and the society so that everyone benefits and we grow together, not apart. We grow together respectfully and prosper. Part of that involves acknowledging where the system needs improvement. And I am happy, and very happy to acknowledge the federal government 2023 review of the migration system report. The report identified multiple failings in the system, and the government, the federal government, has responded with a range of reforms to improve efficiency and help to prevent the exploitation of workers. So government is demonstrating leadership in reviewing those systems that we are not working. This action by the government is helping to restore trust. When reports repeatedly identify problems and there is no action taken to address those problems, then people become cynical about the government's intentions as leaders. Receiving the Tasmanian Australian of the Year award has given me the opportunity to meet people in high-level leadership roles, as well as meeting all the incredible recipients of these awards. I think the learning for me is there are people out there who are doing amazing things. There is a goodwill. People are defying all the odds to make change. It's so hard to go up against the system. You risk call a troublemaker. You have to give on giving all the time. Your family makes enormous, huge sacrifice. It's not easy to make the difference, to champion change. But you are in a great company, and that gives you energy and inspires you. When you see what other people are doing, it keeps you going. You are granted a platform, and there is some power in that. But I think the lesson is, be grounded, be humble. Just because you've got a big profile, you don't boss everyone around. You might have those opportunities, but you still have to be grounded. I have also been humbled by some of the politicians I have met who are simple and straightforward. I will continue to be who I am and not use my power to be on my profile and not use my profile to be mean, because it is important not to forget where you come from. The next phase of my leadership is just beginning. I have now moved into a senior multicultural consultancy role with the state service, designed to develop strategy and policies to build inclusion and diversity. I will also be participating in an advisory panel formed by the federal government to inform policy development and lived experience and expert authority to Australian delegation in international forums. At this stage, I think I need to understand that as leaders, we are always learning, and we should never think we have all the answers. We learn as we go along from new things. From little things, we open our minds, and sometimes we have to learn by unlearning the last thing. Now, I would like to quickly reflect on the ways I have done my resilience to this point. What day-to-day messages and strategy I have turned to. Ability to know that there is always something that will be right the next day. The new dawn. I am always hopeful and optimistic. Ability to stay calm and know people are different, and even though I am hurt, I try not to judge them for what they are doing to me. Forgiveness. Persistence. Faith that there will be a change at some point. Bringing people with you. Keep communicating. Work together. Keep things in perspective. I've seen the worst of the way people can treat each other. People shot and killed. It isn't happening here, thank God. Staying focused on who you really are. Being devalued, excluded, treated as invisible, impacts your health and your mental health. Being creative. Being able to come up with things that can make me feel good and not focusing on the things that will bring me down. As I come to the end of this speech, I would like to acknowledge the good Samaritans of my journey. Many different people have sustained my faith, my development. People have helped me to understand and adapt to the system, to build my business and management skills, and to be part of a network of like-minded people who want the best for their families and their communities, and are willing to keep working towards the vision of a fair, diverse, and inclusive Australia. This picture was painted by my niece. She's a long-sustained blessing. Although words will always be important, sometimes a lot of words are not what needs to bring us together. Sometimes art, music, food, sport, companionship, they are the creative expression that reach us, teach us, unite us, and help and heal us. Community is creative. Finally, because this is a prayer breakfast, I would like to say what I pray for. I pray for Tasmania to accept that we are all part of a global society. I pray for leaders to make wise decisions about how we embrace everyone and manage global system in a humane way. I pray that wisdom will be expressed through the actions of government institutions, religious communities, politicians, and businesses. I pray that politically there will be bipartisan support to face the challenges. Have the difficult conversations and show kindness to the people who are most in need. I pray for a gentle spirit of tolerance. Thank you for listening.